In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, of all of the false gods and idols that the Lord God had to banish from the midst of his people in the Old Testament, the most difficult one had to be dealt with personally by the Messiah himself. And this idol was so diabolical, so deadly, and yet so sly that only the Word incarnate could expose its mortal doctrine to the crowds and multitudes. This was the God of the Pharisees. No, I do not mean the Lord God who freed them from Egypt and gave them the law of Moses. I mean the idol that drove these Pharisees blindly into their monumental towers of pride, hypocrisy, and condescension towards their lower class neighbors, simply because the Pharisees observed the law. Now, how could obedience be so ravaging to a virtuous life? It was because of this idol, this principle, this false god, which is, simply put, the belief that our holiness is thanks to us, and therefore makes us worthy of praise and glory. It is a self-love of holiness. We see the Pharisee and the publican in today's gospel enter the temple to pray. And what does the Pharisee say? Of course, it's nothing false or blasphemous. He is praising the Lord for making him a great saint. He tithes, he prays, he commits no great sins like other people do. And yet, the Pharisee was not justified. The publican, on the other hand, with humility and contrition, begs God for forgiveness, and this man was justified. To be clear, it was not the publican's sins that justified him, nor was it the Pharisee's observance of the law that condemned him. Rather, it was their internal dispositions behind their prayers and actions. It was their intentions, the goal that they were trying to achieve with their visit to the temple that day. What did the Pharisee want? Why was he boldly proclaiming his righteousness before God? The Pharisee wanted recognition, honor, praise, the first seat. He had done so much good in his life, contrary to the other sinful men of his time, that he was entitled to special treatment from his neighbors and even from God himself. For the Pharisee, he believes that he is honoring God with his litany of thanks. But the only person he is actually praising is himself. He is his own idol. He worships his own holiness. On the other hand, we see the publican humbly asking for forgiveness, not for any merit on his own part, but purely out of God's mercy and goodness, just like the penitent King David. This prayer is the one that was pleasing to God and left that sinful man justified. The publican does not presume any sort of entitlement before God because he has none. But even if he could say the same things that the Pharisee was saying, even if he did practice good works, the publican clearly knows that that is not how prayer works. our prayers, our worship, our liturgy is not meant to fan the fires of our self-love. They're part of a personal relationship between us and God. Our religion is founded upon the love that God bears for us and for our neighbor. And it is this divine love that frees us from our sins and helps us grow in virtue. And this same love is what we must strive to practice in our lives towards our neighbor through charity. And we can clearly see this lack of charity in the Pharisee, because he delights in having miserable, wretched sinners around him. He oppresses them and publicly mocks them because their sinfulness makes his virtue shine all the brighter. But a true follower of God wants what is good for his neighbor, following the merciful and compassionate example of Christ. A true Christian is happy to see the publican in the temple, to see the sinner repent. He prays for the conversion or perseverance of his neighbor, and is always mindful that he can easily fall into the same abyss of sin and vice without God's saving grace. And for us today, be wary of the idol of the Pharisees. The word Pharisee means separated, because the Pharisees were so distinguished from the common Jews by their rigorous exterior practices. Let us beware of our own separated 21st century Catholic mindsets. We should not pray within ourselves, "I'm so much better than other people, Lord. I'm a Latin Mass Catholic. I go to Mass on Sundays and feast days. I make time for daily prayer, and I don't murder people." If our prayers, devotions, acts of piety, and obedience to the precepts of the Church only serve to flatter our self-love, while we neglect the duties of our state of life and retain nothing of the concrete examples of the meekness and humility that our Lord continuously displayed, perhaps it is good to remember that the only thing that any of us can outright claim as our own masterpiece is our personal sins, offenses, failures, and shortcomings against the Creator of heaven and earth. Without God's grace, we would all be publicans. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Let us take heed against judging rashly our own goodness and our neighbor's sinfulness, because we are all poor sinners in need of God's saving grace to better ourselves. Let us be mindful of the Pharisee's idol of self-love, the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, when the true object of our praise and devotion should be God's mercy and goodness towards poor sinners like ourselves. And may Mary, our Blessed Lady, assumed into heaven, teach us how to properly magnify the Lord by our lives through charity, meekness, and humility, and honoring the Lord our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.